Thanks, guys. Are we all right, Cynthia? Oh, you star. Thank you so much. This morning is the last talk in this Genesis series that we've been looking at. So I just wanted to do a little bit of a recap to start with. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I really did like this Genesis series. Beginning at the beginning, looking at what kind of God do we serve? What kind of people are we? Because once we understand what God is like, once we understand what we're like, once we tell ourselves those stories, then it changes all the rest of our lives. Once we understand what kind of God we serve, and we see in Genesis the kind of God we serve is a creative God. It's a God who looks at us and lovingly makes us. You are handmade, you're not mass-produced, which is a line that I keep saying from this Genesis story. As God forms us out of the dust and breathes life into us, we worship a God who passionately loves us. We worship a God who, even though we mess up, even though we distance ourselves from God like we looked at in Genesis 3, even when we choose to run from God and build division between each other, we worship a God who so passionately loves us that he's willing to die on a cross for us, as we just so wonderfully sung. See, God is passionately in pursuit of you. He's passionately in pursuit of a relationship with you. God loves you so much. And once we understand that in Genesis, then I think it changes everything. We realize that in Genesis that God breathes his spirit into us as he makes us. And I pray that for us, that as we bring something towards God, as we bring our ideas and our plans, as we bring what we want to do in our lives, as we bring our families, as we bring our jobs to God, that God would breathe into it by the power of his spirit and bring something beautiful and full of life, like we read about in Genesis. Then last week we looked at Abram, or Abraham as he later became known, the man who chased God with a Zimmer frame. Because when God comes up with a plan for human salvation, he picks a 75-year-old bloke who I assume didn't have many teeth left on a Zimmer frame, who kind of hobbles after God. He hobbles after God out of Ur towards the promised land. I'm reading into it. I mean, he might have been a very fit and healthy 75-year-old. I'm not sure. He could have regularly gone to the gym and done spinning classes or something. I don't know. But what we looked at last week is, if we want to be used by God, actually all we need to do is say yes. That's all Abraham did. All he did was say yes. God might have asked other people before him. We don't know. They don't make it into the Bible. Why not? Because they didn't say yes. And that's it. What's the difference between us and other people in the world? God called and we just said yes. That's it. We didn't get more things right. We're not better qualified to be Christians. But we did say yes to God. And that's all he can ask from us. He took risks and he kept God at the center of it all. And today, finally, as we wind up this series on Genesis, I wanted to look at Joseph, the kind of last bit of the Genesis story. And those of you who have seen the film, I mean, will know the story. There's loads of stuff in the story of Joseph. Joseph, how can we ever say all that we want to about you, as the line goes in one of the songs. No one's seen it? No, all right. I won't do the full rendition, don't worry. I think when I was 8, I was in the chorus of Joseph and his Technicolor Dreamcoat with like, I had like a little torch on my face as they all came up out of Egypt in the smoke. Anyway, moving on. So Joseph, well, I want us to look at Joseph as the last bit because I love Joseph. Last week we looked at Abraham and we looked at this man who God calls out of his comfort zone, and all he does is say yes. And in Joseph, we get kind of a longer story, more drawn out. And we see, actually, if we're going to follow what God wants for our lives, how does that look as a process? All we really know about Abraham from what we looked at last week is he said yes to God. He took some risks. But Joseph, we get more of a story. There's more there. I would encourage you to read the story of Joseph. It is a fascinating read. I'm sure lots of you know it really well, but it's an amazing read of how Joseph is used by God. And the first thing is that when Joseph is 17 years old, he gets a dream from God. And this is my first point, it's quite simply to dream big. I loved what Judy said, the passage she quoted, which is, without a vision, people perish. You've got to have a dream. Once you've got that, then the rest of your life can move towards that dream. but get a dream first. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a fireman. And then someone told me that they had to go up ladders, and I don't like heights. I don't like going up ladders. I'm not even that fussed about fire. So I changed my dream from fireman fairly quickly. But I would encourage you to think about, what is it that you want your life to look like in 5 years? What is it that you want your life to look like in 1 year? One of the things I really like doing at the start of each year, so January, for those of you who don't know when the start of the year is January. I was a teacher, so I just think that the year starts in September, and I wonder why no one else thinks this. But anyway, when the year starts, I like writing down kind of my aims for the year. What are the things? And I do aims for things like I want to achieve. So in 1 year, I might want to move house, or I might want to get married. That was my one for this year. Ticked. Yes, did it. Got it done. Other things are character aims. So I want to be still more. That was one of mine for this year. Can I find time in my day just to be still and stop? I'd encourage you to get a vision, to get a dream for what you want to do in the year. Get a 1 year plan, get a 5 year plan. For this church, where do we want it to be in 5 years? What does this church look like in 5 years as you imagine it? What does it look like? Me, I want to see a diverse church. I want to see a church where if you come from any walk of life, you can see other people in the church so that you feel comfortable. So that you don't rock up to the church and you think, oh, I'm the only one of, finish that sentence with anything. I want a diverse church. I want a vibrant church. I want a church that makes a difference to Earl's Cone. It's a place where people know there's life there. There's life there. They don't even know why, but they know it's a place where there's life. That's my vision for the church. Get a vision for your life. Get a vision for your church. And then work towards it. Once you get a dream from God, be wise with it. Joseph gathers his elder brothers round him and says, I just got a dream that one day you're all going to bow down to me. If that is your dream, don't tell those people. What are you thinking, Joseph? I thought I was an arrogant teenager, and I was. But I feel that just takes it to a whole other level, doesn't it, from Joseph? I just say this, and it's the next slide. When you get words from God, when you get dreams from God, be sensible with it. This is a passage here that says, he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. Some people here, you find it hard to hear from God. You think that maybe when you prophesy that you need some thus saith the Lord story of the future. Now, this explains clearly, prophecy is comforting people and it's building people up. And if it doesn't do those two things, it's not prophecy, so don't share it with people. Joseph hears something from God, but it doesn't build people up, so it's not a wise thing to go around sharing. Does that kind of make sense? God is speaking to us, but if you want to then communicate that with others, let's make sure it builds people up. We can tell people what God is saying to them if it comforts them and it encourages them. He who prophesies edifies them. So Joseph gets this dream, and I'd encourage you to get a vision, get a dream of where you want your life to be like in 5 years. Make plans to move it. And then as you read the story of Joseph, he just keeps on going. So he gets this vision. He winds his brothers up by being a little bit cocky, as a teenager sometimes are, and they throw him into a pit. And to be honest, it's probably his fault that he's in the pit. Surely they certainly overreacted, but it was almost his fault. Sometimes we end up in pits that are our own fault. Sometimes it doesn't go our way because of mistakes that we made. Then later on in Joseph's life, he finds himself in prison for something that wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. He made the right choice. And sometimes in our life, we find ourselves in a pit that wasn't our fault. It was someone else's fault. Someone else messed us up. Someone else did something wrong. We did the right thing and we still suffered the consequences. Joseph is in a pit that's his own fault. He's in a pit that's someone else's fault. He finds himself living in a land he was never meant to live. And in all of it, he just keeps on going. He just keeps on going. You might have heard this before. I'm going to read to you a couple of diary entries from a couple of years ago. Then I'll tell you who they're by. Sunday a.m. May the 5th, preached in St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m. May the 5th, preached in St. John's. Deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, so a week later, preached in St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May 19th, preached in St. somebody else's. Deacons called a special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May 19th, preached on the street, kicked off street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in meadow, chased out of meadow as bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, week later, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon, preached in pasture, 10,000 people came out to hear me. John Wesley didn't give up. John Wesley had a vision from God. He was impacted by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he did not give up, regardless of what happened. One of my favorite words is yet, just the word yet. And I suppose it was helpful for me in teaching, because often people say to you, I just don't understand it. I just don't get it. Tell them, yet. That freaked them out a little bit because they were wondering why. I don't understand it yet. You don't understand it yet. Because when God gives you a dream, actually one of the best things you can do is just hold on to it and just keep on going as Joseph did. Whether you're in a pit that's made by your own mistakes, whether you're in a pit that's made by someone else's mistakes, whether you feel like you're not living in the place you should live, keep on going. And one of the fantastic things that you can do, regardless of where you are, is you can build your character. I really like this about Joseph. It doesn't matter where he is, he still develops his character. He still develops the gifts that are within inside him. Because whatever you're doing in life, you can work on what's the inside. Let me just take the pressure off a little bit. You can't control everything that happens to you. So you don't need to try. All right, stuff's going to happen, and you can't control all of it. Because you're not God, which is a great revelation to a lot of us. We can't control everything. But we can control how we respond. We can control our character. We can control how we treat others. So Joseph is in a prison. It's not his fault. He didn't do anything wrong. And while he's in that prison, he still seeks to be obedient to God, to the people around him. He still works on his ability to interpret dreams. Now, if I was Joseph in a prison that wasn't my fault, I'd probably be so disappointed and angry that I can't imagine I'd be much use to anyone. But don't let your disappointment get in the way of growing your character. You can always choose how your character gets developed. You can always choose how you respond to situations. You can't control situations, but you can choose how you respond to them. So, just in your life, where do you find it hardest to respond? So is it at work? Is it a certain family member? Is it on the M25? Which there was a church I knew that asked this question to every member of the congregation. They wrote it down, and M25 won by a country mile as the place hardest it is to be a Christian is on the M25. And I can appreciate that. Where is it that you find it the hardest? Where is it that the circumstances are like Joseph in a pit, but you can still choose how you respond? You can still choose to develop your character. This is what it says in Colossians 3, which is a passage I really love. Put on then, and bearing in mind this is written by Paul, who suffered a great deal of adversity. He was shipwrecked, he was beaten up, he was thrown out of towns, he went hungry. And he says this, put on then as God chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has got a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. It's Colossians 3:12-15. See, regardless of what's happening around you, whether you feel that you're in some kind of pit that's your own fault or a pit that's someone else's fault, or you feel you're not living in a place that you should be, regardless of where you are, if things are going well for you, things are going badly for you, you can still develop your character. You can still focus on what's inside. You still choose how to respond. Maybe this week you want to decide to do one thing every day for a week. That you're going to decide, I'm only going to say positive things about that person every day for a week. I found myself that too much of my conversation was about other people. So I just, I can't remember how long was it? Was it a week? A month? I just didn't talk about other people for a month. Have you ever tried doing that? That is hard. Because so many conversations are about other people. You can't even talk about Bake Off, because it's difficult to talk about Bake Off without talking about the people on Bake Off. It's hard to have conversations that aren't just about people. But I wanted to do it because I wanted to prove that I don't want what I speak about just to be about others, positive or negative. So I just didn't talk about people. Maybe every day for this week, you're going to be thankful for something. Every day this week, you're going to say, God, I am thankful for, and then list something for a minute. Because you want your character to be one of thankfulness. Maybe you want your character to be one of generosity. So every day this week, you're going to give something away. You make a donation, or you put something in for the food bank, or you put some money in the charity pot. Maybe not necessarily because you think that what you give will make a big difference, though it will, but you want your character to be one of generosity. Because we choose what our character is going to look like. Joseph knew that wherever he was in life, he could work on his character. Whether he was in prison or he was in the palace, he can still work on his character. And so can we. So Joseph gets a big dream. He knows where he's going in 5 years, and he's wise with what he tells other people. He's wise with what God tells him. He's not at first, but he learns it eventually. He keeps on going, even when the situations are against him. And as he keeps on going, then he chooses to develop his character regardless. And finally, he gets a dream and he makes it. You notice that at the end of the story, Joseph is second in command of all of Egypt. He's done it. He's the millionaire. He's the one who went through adversity, rose to the top, probably wrote a great best-selling book about it, like self-help book, you know what people do when they reach that. He's done it. This guy has made it. He's accomplished the dream that God gave him. God said, one day all these people are going to bow before you. And it happens. And what I love about Joseph is that he doesn't stop there. He doesn't just say, brilliant, I've done it. People have bowed down to me. Joseph then goes on to save a nation. You see, Joseph makes sure that the people of Egypt don't starve. He goes on to make sure that his family don't starve. If you read the rest of the story, Joseph changes the course of history after his dream has been accomplished. You see, if your dream isn't about helping others, I'm not sure it's necessarily from God. God doesn't call you to success. He calls you to build his kingdom. If you look at Jesus on the cross, I wouldn't say I see a man winning, but we know ultimately that that's exactly what it was. Because in the kingdom, winning sometimes looks like losing. God might not call you to run Egypt. In fact, I'll wager that he's probably not calling any of us to run Egypt. I don't know how many of you know Arabic, but I don't. I know a few words and that's about it. He's probably not causing you to run Egypt. He might not even be calling you to become the managing director. He might not call you to be the most respected member of your family. He might not call you to success, but he does call you to obedience. You can still work on your character. You see, Joseph takes his dream and then he helps other people with it. And finally, which I think is amazing, Joseph forgives the brothers who had beaten him up all the other years. All those years before, Joseph forgives his brothers. Yesterday, I absolutely loved it. I really did. I was just blown away by the things people said. And I didn't deserve any of it. I've only just joined this church. I haven't done anything. Yet yesterday, people were saying such nice things. I was getting cards. I felt so loved. And I hadn't done anything. I thought this morning, that's not a bad symbol of grace, is it? God loves you before you do anything. God loved you before you were born. He still loved you. God loves you now, whether or not you pray. Now, it is a really good idea to pray, but he still loves you nonetheless. God's grace is enough for you, regardless of what it is that you do. And once you understand that, then you can give it away in forgiveness. Jesus says, as I forgive you, so forgive others. I'm paraphrasing, but as I forgive you, so forgive others. Once we understand how much God loves us, once we understand how much we have been forgiven, then we can give that grace away. And that's what Joseph does to his brothers. He forgives them for everything they've done wrong. Let me tell you this, that God will bless you if you are obedient to him. But if you want to bless others, you need to learn to forgive. God will bless you. And I don't mean in terms of you'll have more money and a bigger house. I'm talking about a blessing spiritually. God will bless you if you're obedient to him. But if you want to bless others, you need to learn to forgive. Joseph makes it to the top of the country by following his dream. But the only way he saves a nation is because he learns to forgive the people that had hurt him so badly. They really messed him up. Forgiveness is not pretending it didn't matter. Forgiveness is leaving it to God. We are not saying it didn't hurt. We are not saying what people did to you wasn't awful. We are saying, let God judge. You say, I'm going to let God deal with that. And you let it go, which is what Joseph does here. Guys, this morning, I just want to pray for a few things. I want to pray that we would catch a vision for where as a church we're going, but individually, I pray that you would get a vision for where you're going. I pray that you'd have perseverance to stick to it. I pray that you would know you can control your character. And I pray that you would know how much you are loved so you can love others. That you can show others the grace you'd receive. I pray that people here, we would be able to forgive those who have hurt us, not because it didn't hurt, but because God has forgiven us so much. We're going to let God deal with that. We don't hold the debt anymore. So if that's for you, I'd encourage you to stick your hands out, or if you want to stand, you can. But just receive this morning. God, I pray that you would give us again a vision of where we are going. I thank you that we do not drift through life, but we are called to a purpose of bringing your kingdom on earth. Jesus, I pray that you would reinvigorate us, that we would choose to keep going even when it's hard. And God, I really do pray this morning that we would seek to help others, that we would release some of the pain. God, that we would forgive, that we would hand it over to you. God, like Joseph, we want to choose to step into something new. We want to release the past hurt. We want to forget the former things because you are doing a new thing. God, we thank you that you call us to your kingdom. That as we are obedient to you, as we choose to forgive those who have hurt us, God, I pray that right now your love would fill this place. We would know we are loved by you. We would know how much we have been forgiven. Give us the strength, Jesus, to let go of stuff we don't need to be holding on to anymore. Thank you that your spirit makes that possible, Jesus. Thank you that you are bringing a new vision to this place. That we have got things that you want us to do for your kingdom. I pray now that people will be having ideas, that they'll be getting a vision of what they want to do for the next year, 5 years, 10 years. Jesus, I thank you that there is always more in your kingdom that you call us to, that you equip us for. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and your spirit that makes any of this possible. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to stand and we're going to sing a final song. If you would like someone to pray with you, as always, please do ask someone, or you can grab me at the end. Always happy to pray with people. But let's stand and let's sing. If you've bought an offering today, we're going to put them at the back there as you're leaving, if you'd like to leave a financial offering, because I forgot to do it in the song. So